Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Andy J Podcast. The Andy J Podcast. The Andy J Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the very latest Andy J Podcast, our very first podcast to land on a Wednesday. Now, if you didn't hear yesterday's show, the Alan McGee episode that dropped on Tuesday as usual, you'd be new to this. We're trying a new thing out here. We are, well, based on your feedback, we have decided to dedicate shows, whole shows, to just one guest wherever possible. Wherever we've spoken to someone for more than a few minutes, we'd like to just dedicate that time because that's what you've been telling us you like. You appreciate hearing the individuals and just having them in these, you know, focused conversation styles, because after all, whenever we chat to a guest for the radio show, we always talk for a lot longer than the edit that makes it onto the radio. And you, the podcast audience, are a completely different audience to the radio listeners. And frankly, you deserve better. You deserve better than us just bumbling people together and hoping for the best. And we really do appreciate your company, your dedication. And there's a really lovely growing crowd of you fabulous people that listen week in, week out. Well, we're going to be giving you more. Because you deserve it and because we want to. So, Alan McGee was yesterday, the wonderful Sally Phillips. And let me tell you, I had never met Sally before. Before we started recording, I just had the postman drop off something and I said to him, "How are you doing?" Because I like my postie and we have a nice chat. And he went, "Oh, you know, just another day in paradise." And that put the old Phil Collins earworm into my ear. Literally the minute before I was due to call Sally. Now, it's a fine song. It's not my favourite song or anything, but it's all right. But when it's on a loop in your head, oh gosh, it really kind of starts to wind you up. So I shared this immediately with Sally. Never spoken to her in my life before. She said, "Hi, Eddie, how are you doing?" I was like, "Well, Sally, actually, I've got this earworm. I've got Another Day in Paradise stuck in my head." And she thought it was hilarious. She had a real go at me for putting it in her head. We both had a giggle. And then I said, "Okay, should we do a show?" And we pressed record. And it just started off on the nicest foot. She's such a lovely, lovely lady. She's solid gold. Not only, I think, is she hilarious company, but she, the entire time, I felt like she was my friend. She was that lovely, that open and delightful. And yeah, really, really, this is such a lovely, joyful chat. So I hope you get as much listening to this conversation as I had having it, because she's a rare, special superstar. Of course, she's the star of Bridget Jones, and that's how I managed to get her, because there's a 20-year anniversary thing and there's a competition running, which you hear about. But she was also in Alan Partridge and Green Wing and Smack the Pony and Miranda and. She's actually, as we speak, she's currently in Australia recording a new movie. In fact, she's had to do a couple of weeks of quarantine with her three boys in a little hotel room. And if you've been following her on Instagram, then you'll see she's been having a right old giggle with it. And she did say to me off air, she was like, "I don't know what it's going to be like, but we're all going to go crazy." And her Instagram has been kind of suggesting that, which has been lots of fun. She's, I think, Sally Smack or something like that on Instagram because of Smack the Pony. Anyway, enjoy this chat. I really, really loved it. And I'm so, so chuffed that you have taken the time to listen this week as well to this extra show. Tomorrow, Thursday, we'll be putting out a Kemp's special, a brand new conversation with Gary Kemp. And he's got the best David Bowie anecdote ever, by the way. And Nick Mason, if you like Pink Floyd, etc. And then we'll also be adding in a chat that we had with Martin Kemp and Shirley Kemp to have a Kemp special. So that's dropping tomorrow on the AJ Pod. For now, though, here is Sally Phillips.
The Andy J Podcast.
To mark the 20th anniversary of Bridget Jones's Diary, streaming service Now is launching the ultimate Bridget mini break, offering film fans the chance to book a staycation in the iconic suite and hotel where Bridget and Daniel enjoyed their hilarious getaway. Find out more at www.bridgetminibreak.nowtv.com. And to tell us more about that, and life in the movie, and so many other amazing things, is award-winning actor, writer, comedian, and presenter, the incredible Sally Phillips. How are you doing, Sally?
Hi there. Hi, Andy. How are things?
You know,
you all right? Happy Saturday.
Ticking along. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay, thank you. I'm okay. I'm sorry if you can hear the dog being called for a walk in the background. I hope that doesn't get too overwhelming, but we're taking them out so they don't bark all the way through your show.
Yeah, you're all good. You're all good. We love dogs on this show, so we're okay. You know, unless it attacks you, then obviously we'd have an issue. But I think we'll be all right. I hope so, anyway. Yeah. Sally, I can't believe, in a way, this kind of makes...
20 years.
It makes me feel old a little bit. 20 years?
Yeah. Yeah, 20 years. That makes me feel pretty old as well. 20 years. 20 years, Andy. Oh. 20 years.
I mean, listen, can we discount at least the last year? Because none of us have done anything or gone anywhere. So that's not really counting as a year, is it?
Yeah, but I'm aged in dog years. So the last year felt like 7 years.
Right, yeah.
No, I can't believe it's 20 years. I really can't. And I'm thrilled that they're screening Bridget Jones on the cinema, now are screening Bridget Jones on the cinema streaming site. So the film's still going strong. You can watch the first two on Now Cinema. And they're doing a cinema release, UK cinema release on April 13th.
Well, it's one of those special movies, isn't it? Because it's timeless. You don't have to be, you know, 20 years ago it was new, but it still feels current and relevant, and it's hugely entertaining, and it's just a laugh out loud little romp of joy, isn't it?
Well, I think so. I think it is. I just think Renee is so warm and charming and funny, and the man fighting is endlessly entertaining. and what great blokes. I mean, I sometimes do a joke where I go, if you don't recognise me, I'm the woman who was, you know, in Miranda, but not Miranda, or the other one, or the mother, or the bloke. And in Smack the Pony, not the northern one, or the Scottish one. Or Bridget, not the one who, the one who didn't get to kiss Hugh Grant, or Colin Firth, or... or the other one, and who constantly spent 20 years swearing in frustration. What's not to love?
The thing about that as well, Sally, is you actually had three chances, didn't you? Because they made three movies. They could have given you one heartfelt snog, couldn't they?
They could have. Yeah, they could have. I mean, they set me up with Paul Nichols, but we didn't kiss.
No.
In and he was a drug dealer. And my main memory about the second film is that was the film on which I learnt not to eat in scenes, because there was a scene where we were eating an omelette with magic mushrooms in, and the first take I thought this would be really hilarious if Shaz just eats it really quickly. Like, has really bad table manners. I think that'd be quite funny.
Nice.
And so I did that, and then we did like 15 takes. So I had to eat 15 omelets. And since then, it's rare that you catch me eating anything on set. I'm very cautious about putting anything in my mouth in case you end up in one of these marathon shoots.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could have been the lady that began Person versus Food. You know, that's 15 omelets in a sitting is...
Oh. Actually, I did. I haven't fully learned that, because on Trolleyed there was a Tunnock's tea cake catastrophe as well, where I just thought it'd be funny to stick the whole Tunnock's tea cake in my mouth, and then we needed six takes. Damn, I have to say, I will never eat a Tunnock's tea cake again. Never. Six is far too many. One may not be enough, but six is far too many.
Well, I mean, to be fair, of all the choices you could make of things that you are speed eating, a Tunnock's tea cake is a challenge. A magic mushroom filled omelette times 15. It's a wonder you remembered your lines.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was eating because I didn't have many lines in that bit. I was like, I will try and do something noteworthy by eating this omelette in the most disgusting fashion ever.
They can't have used one of the later takes, though, Sally, because, you know, there would have been a continuity error. Shazza's a bit bigger for this scene. What's happening?
She's
got 14 omelettes inside
her. I once had a thing, if it's not too rude to talk about, where I was filming a sitcom very shortly after I'd had a baby. And we had a day of bed scenes, which was, you know, obviously it was a marriage, so it was sexless bed scenes. I was just sort of lying in bed. But it got to lunchtime and the cameraman went, "Why can't I see your face anymore?" And it was because am I allowed to say this? I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, so I'm going to say it anyway.
Say it anyway.
Yeah. because I was breastfeeding, my breasts were like three times the size, and they were now obscuring my face. So whereas at the beginning of the morning, he'd been able to see my face over the sheet, by lunchtime, I was in, you know, it was impossible to see. That's not an anecdote I should wheel out often.
It's the dinner party moment. Guys, I've got to tell you about this time when they didn't let you
Henry,
do...
we're all out on the patio.
They didn't let you do a cheeky express under the covers. That wasn't a thing.
No, we broke for lunch. I had the baby with me, so we broke for lunch.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Was reconnected with my baby and then I was fine. So you've got a brand new baby.
I do, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How's it going? How crazed are you with lack of sleep?
Yeah, the lack of sleep, you kind of forget about it, don't you? And then it's like, oh, wow. No, you really don't do very well with no sleep. So yeah, I mean, I'm quite an unusual man right now. I've probably had the equivalent of 15 magic mushroom omelettes, to be fair, just from delusionally... Yeah. I don't know where I am coming or going. You know, it's crazy, but it's fun.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of comfortable as well, that extreme lack of sleep. There's a kind of coziness to it as well, as long as you don't have to function. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you feel like you're in a club, you know. It's funny. I've always said to my friends when they've, you know, when they've just had a new baby, because this is my third, obviously, and I've always said, oh, you get used to the lack of sleep, because my memory is you do. But now I'm, you know, two, three weeks in, I haven't got used to it again. Maybe it's because I'm old now. Could that be it?
Yeah, could be.
Thanks, good.
Could be. Oh, I think what I learned was that I remember doing a shoot up in Liverpool, and I had two boys with me, and I had a nanny, but she was obviously in a different hotel room, and so when I came back from work, she clocked off. So trying to get the boys to sleep, and they just wouldn't go. And saying to the younger one, you need to go to sleep or mummy can't work. And him going, well, I don't want you to work, so I am going to talk to you all night.
Ooh.
And he did. And I was a raptor, like 3 a.m. Get to sleep! Just so crazy with it. And the next day I had to do 4 hours of crying followed by 4 hours of karaoke. And, you know, it wasn't my finest hour, but it wasn't so bad they couldn't use it.
Right.
And then I thought, well, you know, no one died. It's not the end of the world. And so I've stopped panicking about lack of sleep now. But after lockdown, how badly do you need a mini break?
Oh.
You should be applying,
yeah.
Andy.
Yeah, I know.
But it's now TV mini break. So the famous mini break, the Daniel Cleaver and Bridget mini break from series one, now TV, and they're doing this to launch or to celebrate 20 years of Bridget. They're giving away 20 mini breaks at Stoke Park.
Yeah, yeah, and Stoke Park is a very nice place.
In the actual suite they're in, where Hugh Grant discovered, well, Hugh Grant, where Daniel Cleaver discovered Bridget's massive pants. that's a new baby romantic weekend away if ever I heard.
It so is, you know, and I would really hope that the 20 lucky winners of this weekend break will all take the appropriate massive pants with them, because it feels like the right thing to do. They do, don't they?
They have to.
Yeah,
they have to. And then there's the rowing. How would you feel about rowing and reading poetry to your beloved?
Huh? Yeah.
Is that something you would ever do?
Now, rowing, I quite like the sound of that. Reading poetry feels like a struggle, to be honest.
You know, I'm exactly the other way around. I can't believe that you're saying that though reading poetry is harder than the rowing. Rowing's really hard.
Well, yeah, but some poetry can be quite kind of, you know.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Well.
No, listen, I'm all there for a really hard-hitting, awesome poem, you know, like the one at Biden's inauguration. Wow, that was incredible. But I wouldn't be able to read that. The way she delivered it was amazing. You know what I mean? Rhyming couplets and I are not bedfellows, I don't think.
I think that you should ask your listeners to write limericks about you.
Oh, no.
There was...
None of them would be very nice.
Once was a DJ called Andy. The only word that's coming to mind is Randy.
I was going
to
say,
I'm just going to abandon it there.
You've got Randy and Shandy, and then it stops there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is a mini break limerick if ever I heard one. You've got all the ingredients.
Who entered a ballot because he was Randy. There you go. Oh, no. See, yeah. I've gone down that. Yes, no, I'm no poet. Yeah. Quite clearly, Sally.
His wife had big pants.
she's still pants? Going. Oh, romance. Yeah.
You're good at this.
I'm not.
He hoped for romance, but his wife brought big pants. So Andy sat in the bar with a shandy.
There you go. Wow.
There you go. It's your limerick.
And it paints an amazing picture of me, Sally. I mean, and thank you for that. I feel touched.
But you have got a new baby. I think, you know.
Shandy's,
waiting for your wife to recover before she can get back on the horse.
Shandy would go straight to my head and I'd be out for the count. It would be, yeah, it would be a win. And I'm down for that. Stoke Park, here I come. I'm entering. And
yeah. I imagine they've got Hypnos mattresses and all of that.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking. Because actually, you're so right. Talking. There's obviously, alongside this incredible, fantastic prize, there's some research that's accompanied it. And part of this, and I think this couldn't be more right, is that 80% of the people they spoke to, 80% of Brits have said a change of scenery is going to have a positive effect on the relationship they're in. And because we've all been in the same place, you know, the same four walls. I know a lot of the nation have painted.
Sorry, say that again. What's the research?
80% of Brits, they feel that a change of scenery is going to have a positive effect on their relationship. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically it.
Too right.
Yeah.
We've
all been in the same
I have
place.
Started to go mad. Like lockdown three, that has finally been too much.
Has it?
Yeah.
How does madness present itself for you, Sally?
I mean, you wouldn't be going out anyway, would you, with a new baby? You'd be sort of pretty much nesting. You've timed that perfectly.
It was an accident, but yes, very happy one.
Was it a lockdown accident?
Yeah, absolutely.
End of lockdown one.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, I just really badly need to get away. And I realised I just, because acting was on pause as well for quite a long while.
Yeah.
So I realised that I don't actually travel that much in real life, but I've become other people. And, I do move around a bit, but I was completely becalmed. Like, I wasn't becoming another person at all, and I wasn't going anywhere, and I felt really crazy. Mm. So I mean, it showed me how much I need that variety to not get depressed. In fact,
yeah. No, I think you know, whilst we're kind of having a giggle about it, that you're absolutely right. I think the nation has felt this, and there's been, you know, to go a little bit deep for a little while, you know. There has been an awful lot of people, very understandably, sort of suffering. And I think anybody that has been basically in the same space for the entirety of the lockdowns is going through something, whether they're kind of dealing with it and styling it out or whether they're openly talk about it. Everyone has had moments where it just isn't fun anymore. And it's just, oh, here we go again. This is what we're doing again.
But also, I mean, you get, you feel nervous going out and about now. I mean, you lose your courage, don't you?
Yes.
And so I think there is going to be this, it's going to have a long tail. It's going to have a huge and long lasting impact.
No,
and some of it's going to be good, I think, like changing work habits. You spend more time with family and not commuting so much and people getting more creative, that kind of thing. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
Because I think we were quite out of balance.
Okay.
Before. But yeah, it has been really, really tough. Mm. Really, really tough on my teenagers.
I bet.
I mean, absolutely brutal. I mean, they're really, really suffering. And I think it took me quite a long time to understand how serious that was.
Yes. Certainly, you kind of think that the people that should be out all the time, I mean, it's easy for me in my 40s to be like, oh, yeah, but I'd be partying. No, I wouldn't. I'd love to pretend I would be, but I wouldn't. You know, I miss a few nice lunches and things, but that's kind of, you know, that's the social life these days. Whereas a teenager, people in their 20s, etc., that would be out all the time, that just can't because everywhere is shut. Yeah, that's really rough, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also the time where you're, you know, separating from your parents. So, you know, psychologically you're having to hate your parents so that you can decide what kind of adult you're going to be, and to be at that precise moment in time locked up just with your parents.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it has been really tough for them. Yeah. Well, it's been tough for my children. Maybe that's not all children. Maybe that is just my children.
It's just you, is it, Sally? No, I don't think that's the case. I think that's the case across the nation, to be fair, and probably worldwide. It isn't an easy chapter. And you know, they keep telling us the end is in sight, and then there's another wave and another variant and another strand. And it is that uncertainty, isn't it? It's just that big question of, well, when is it really back to what we used to remember? Because even that's...
And also, we don't know that we're not going to be able to transmit with the vaccine. Yeah. So... Yeah, it is concerning. And the people who, anyway, everyone has absolutely had enough of talking about COVID, and I haven't got anything new to add. But it has been a tricky year.
Yeah, yes, it has.
And we've become very dependent on streaming services.
We've become very dependent. But we really have, though. You know, movies and television, and actually it's been a chance to remember some favourites as well. I mean, let's go down the Miranda road. I can't not talk to you about Miranda when you're on the phone with me. And it's such an epic, you know, moment in time. So much fun, so many laughs. That's been something that people have been able to revisit, hasn't it? Because it's just glorious.
Yeah, I mean, it's like old-fashioned TV, you know, that you used to watch on a Saturday evening. Again, it's comforting TV, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, there was a time when I might have said it's Tunnock's Tea Cake TV. But now I think that's the devil's food. But, I mean, yeah, it's just funny, innocent, good-hearted. I think there's something really... The thing I really love about Miranda, and I think I can say it because it's, you know, absolutely nothing to do with me, is you know, the Miranda Stevie friendship.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different ways of women, you know, women have been represented over time, and female friendships on screen have often been portrayed as being very jealous. You know, cat fighting to get men and stuff.
Right.
And this is just completely different. One huge girl, one tiny girl, who pretends that the oranges can talk. And do silly voices to each other and dress up as Where's Wally. And it's a different and yet weirdly accurate portrayal of a certain type of female friendship that's much more common than other people realise. And what's so nice about that is that it's... I just think there's a lot of pressure on, not just women, but on all of us to be productive and look nice and be smart and self-improve all the time. And, you know, female friendships are supposed, we're supposed to encourage each other to do, you know, to do jiu-jitsu together. Let's go together to do jiu-jitsu. Let's together do this online degree. Let's together sort out climate change.
Right.
And although that's good, I think it is really important that we don't think we're just machines that have to be productive all the time.
Yeah.
And there's something about the massive time waste of Miranda and Stevie's time together that is completely liberating.
Yes, it is. It's so infectious. It's so infectious.
They're just pushing each other off stools, and nothing is achieved by that. No one is improved by that.
Except the joy that it brings. It's great.
Yeah, except for the joy. That's it. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. It's just for joy.
Yeah.
And there's something very lovely about that.
No, there absolutely is. I mean, is there any chance? I know it's been off screen for several years now, but is there any chance Miranda could come back, do you think?
I really don't know. I mean, it's totally out of my hands. It's up to Miranda. Miranda is doing stuff. And I think we'd all do it if she did it, but we are getting a bit old.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Well, I think we're getting a bit, I mean, because Miranda, the whole point is she doesn't really age. And, you know, it's like Bridget. Hello, are you still there?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, sorry. So it's a bit like sort of, you know, clown Bridget. And, you know, the concerns of getting married to Gary.
Yeah.
And she's got married now. I don't know. I think it would have to change quite a lot to do a grown-up version.
I think it could have the essence of it,
The whole point is Miranda without responsibilities, isn't it?
Yes.
She hasn't got any responsibilities.
Yeah, that's true. But I can see how the character could evolve and the world around her change slightly, but still have that essence of joy and freedom to it, I think.
I don't know. I mean, I think what would be more likely is to go into a different form. So to do it as a film or as a musical.
Oh, yeah.
So Acorn Antiques, they did a musical. So I can really see her doing something like that. I think you do always have to orient yourself in what else is happening. And, you know, we've had, since Miranda, we've had Fleabag and I Will Destroy You.
Yes.
And so I think it does require some sort of careful thought about how you place yourself.
I see.
And fortunately, that is not up to me to do. That's very difficult. Thinking about how one did it, I mean, I just come on and say some words in semi-French and leave.
You are far too humble, Sally. You're amazing, and your career is incredible, and the things you've done and achieved, oh, I think you're brilliant. What's next for you, Sally? What's next on the menu for fun?
I'm just about to go out to Australia, in fact.
Wow.
If they let me, to do a film out there. And so I'm really, at the current time, absolutely terrified about quarantine.
Yeah.
Because I've applied to take the kids. And, yeah, the quarantine is, I mean, I don't know that we'll be like one of those cage fights. I don't know if we'll all come out alive. They'll lock us in a room together. It's 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a time.
Like, we think lockdown was bad.
Yeah.
A small room, me and the kids.
Yeah, so what, 4 of you in a small room?
Well, they just sent a letter this morning saying that we have to sign a thing saying we understand that we may not have interconnecting rooms and they won't have a balcony and we're not allowed to complain because that would be unhelpful for both parties. So we have to, we have to sign this thing saying that we're okay to go into these boxes on our own for 2 weeks. And as I said to you, I'm not convinced that we will survive.
Yeah,
I'm not convinced that we will survive it.
Crikey!
Sorry, I'm on the radio. I'm actually on the radio now. Sorry, people are coming in to ask me things.
That's brilliant. Well, it sounds like life is getting in the way, Sally. So I don't want to hold you up, but good luck with your Australian dilemma.
Thank you.
I hope that it works out for you.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your company. It's been a real pleasure.
It has. It's been lovely, and congratulations on the new baby.
Thank you very
much. And good luck with the 3 boys.
Yeah, thank you. I'll come to you for tips someday and you can tell me where I've gone.
Don't, because it hasn't gone well this end.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. I love it.
Take care.
Thanks, Sally. All the very best. Bye-bye. The Andy J Podcast. I told you she was lovely. Isn't she amazing? I really, 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 really liked Sally. I thought she was just joyful and I hope I get to chat to her again soon because, yeah. All the feels, just so much fun. Thank you very much for your company today. Tomorrow, Thursday, we are dropping a special Kemp podcast. Gary Kemp, Martin Kemp, Shirley Kemp. Cool. Stick that in your ears and enjoy it. How about that for a catchphrase? We'll see you tomorrow. If you're enjoying the Andy J podcast, we'd love a review. In fact, if you're enjoying the show, why not tell your friends? Podcasts live and die on, well, often word of mouth, so please tell your friends. Like, subscribe, review, and share. Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.